Good morning, and welcome to our Good Friday service. I'd like to invite you to take a deep breath in and set the intention that we have gathered this morning to deepen in this Holy Week in our communion and connection with the sacred ground of being, God in us as us. Always on the Sunday Soul Connection and on this Good Friday version, we are looking to extricate the deeper meanings behind the stories, the parables, and the teachings in the Bible. We look for truth and to have a spiritual understanding and awareness. 1 Corinthians says, 2:14, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. So while some might take the Good Friday experience literally, and some may think of it as allegorical, or some may assume that parts of it is true, it matters not. What matters is we look to discern the spiritual meaning behind it. For so long, the church has and still continues to talk about Jesus being a blood sacrifice, that his blood was shed to atone for our sins. For God knows humanity is truly drenched in sin. But we know that to sin is simply to miss the mark. It's a departure from the law that God gave us, which was to be beautiful, to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, to subdue and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and everything that moveth. Now, when we look at that, most people will take that we're just supposed to have dominion over the earth. But we always examine things on a very esoteric and deeper level to understand the metaphysical meaning of it. And so when we are talking about the creatures of the land and of the sea, we're talking about the different states of mind and the levels of consciousness that every human being has. So let's not just take it literal, but let's understand it on a different level. So when we are talking this Good Friday about the atonement through the blood of Christ, let's look at the metaphysical meaning of atonement. I have always aligned myself that word broken down simply means at-one-ment. That we're seeking through Jesus Christ the at-one-ment with our divine source, the absolute mystery, God in us as us. The atonement or the at-one-ment is a reconciliation between our Mother, Father, God, and each and every one of us through Christ. He said, no man cometh to the Father but through the Son, meaning that we can be reconciled and at one with God when we recognize and accept and understand the Christ presence within us, the Spirit of the Sacred, the Divine Intelligence, the Holy of Holies. For too long, man has felt that he is separate from God, that God is somewhere apart from him. But Jesus, our teacher, our way shower, came to show us that that was anything but true, that we were one with the infinite intelligence that permeates in and through all of life, in and through all of creation. So when we think about this Good Friday experience of Jesus shedding his blood as an atonement for our sins, we can start to reconstruct it as a way of Jesus demonstrating, and we'll go deeper into what shedding the blood means, that Jesus was demonstrating his oneness with the source of all that is, that he was one with God, and that when you understand that connection, when you understand your divinity, when you understand that you are in God, that God is in you, that eternal life means exactly that. We understand how even though the physical may die, as in the crucifixion, that which is eternal, that which is life, that which is spirit, that which is God, can never die. And so, my beloved, I invite you to keep your hearts and minds open this morning as we listen to the Good Friday message, to understand how Jesus demonstrated in every single way of his life what it meant and what God means for us as children of the Most High God. So when we think about the blood, let's think about not as just the physical blood, but as the as it represents the principle of eternal life. That this blood that Jesus talks about is the spiritual potency, the spiritual activity that is in all of us. He said that except you eat of the flesh of Son of Man and drink his blood, you have not life in yourselves. We do not think of it as eating the physical flesh and drinking the physical blood, for we know that there is a deeper meaning. Leviticus 17:11 said, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul." You see, this blood of Christ, this life force, contains God's Word. And we know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that our Word is spiritual. It's spirit and it is life. So when we think of the blood of Christ, we're thinking of this life of God, the Word of God, this spiritual energy that can purify, that can cleanse, that can redeem us. And this is what Jesus means when he talks about that we are to drink his blood. We are to imbibe this life force, this energy, which is God's life, God's energy, to cleanse and purify our mind, our consciousness of all the limitations, of all the negativities, of all the low and the base beliefs we've held about ourselves. When we think about the song which we will close with today, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." We can think about it in a new way and in a new understanding. That this blood is the life force, the energy that is purifying, cleansing, renewing, restoring us to who we truly are as children of the Most High God. So I want us to get into our sacred text. And I've taken it from Mark 14:12-24. And I'll break it down as we go along. So let's start with that. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. make preparations for us there. The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening arrived, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips his bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. So let's pause and take a deeper look at that. So we know that the Passover was a celebration that the Jews held yearly to honor their escape from Egypt. In order to escape from Egypt, the last of the punishments that God was bestowing was to kill the firstborn. And so he told the Jews that they were to kill a lamb and then use its blood to mark their doors so that the angel of death would pass over and not kill their firstborn child. So let us look. The deeper meaning of Passover, it's more than just the children of Israel escaping. But it is to pass over from a lower level consciousness to a higher level of consciousness. It's to recognize our egoic mind when it's at play and to seek to express our higher mind, the mind of God. That is in all of us. We may not understand, remember, or use it all the time, but nevertheless it is there. We have to use this opportunity to pass over all the lower feelings of fear and anger, of resentment and disappointment, to the higher consciousness that is love, that is oneness, that is compassion, that is acceptance, that is kindness. And we know when Jesus said and took the bread to share and said, "Take it, is my body." We know that the little wafer of bread that you take of communion is not the body of Christ. What the bread represents is the divine ideas and the substance, the divine substance that is of God. He's inviting us to take this substance of God, the ideas of God, and utilize them in our life so that we can transcend and overcome all of the trials and tribulations that each and every one of us go through. The wine is symbolic of the substance flowing, the divine energy flowing. It's to be quickened, it's to be activated. We can't know this truth and not utilize this truth. As Ernest Holmes once said, "To know truth and not practice it is to have a pot of soup and not taste it or eat it." We have to really embrace and live this truth if we are to live the life we were meant to live. We can't know it and still behave and act in the old ways. He told us that you cannot sew a new patch on an old garment or put new wine into old wineskins. We have to work harder and be more diligent to embody and embrace the message and the truth that he taught us. To discern things of the Spirit with the Spirit. Don't just read something and take it as given. Take it within and allow the Spirit of God to discern it for you. take the divine ideas, the divine substance, and allow it to filter through the various layers of consciousness to guide and to direct you. He said, this is my blood, which is the covenant for you, for the many. He was showing us that this was an opportunity to take this principle, this life-giving energy, to utilize it, to let it purify our minds, to cleanse us of the lens through which we see our world that is negative and limited. We were to use it so that we could truly live as children of the Most High God. We are so blessed to be able to understand that this is not to be taken literally, eat my body, drink my blood, but to understand the substance, the divine substance, the nature of life, and to contemplate on it from a consciousness of awareness. Jesus understood that we needed to know who we were in God. The new covenant that he promised is the ultimate promise of God, that we can have spiritual freedom through Christ. He taught us, he healed us, he gave us the truth. It is up to each and every one of us to embrace, to embody, and to live it. This is the covenant, the freedom, to know that we too have the Christ within. It just wasn't Jesus the Christ. It's each and every one of us the Christ. This Good Friday experience, this Good Friday awareness, is to remind you that what he atoned for us was to show us our at-one-ment with God. That the blood that was shed was to get the awareness and the principle of life that purifies and that cleanses, that renews and that restores. That we were to eat of the flesh was to take up and embody the divine substance that's within us. And the wine that we were to imbibe was to circulate and let this energy move. Let us continue with our sacred texts, Luke 22, 24 and 27, and John 13, 2 to 8. A dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentile lords lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After he poured water into a basin, he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. What I appreciate about this sacred text, even though the disciples had been with him all this time, seeing how humble he was in nature, seeing how he never pushed or vaunted up himself, there they were arguing who amongst them was the greatest. Even discounting that Jesus had led and taught by example, there they were pushing and shoving that this one or that one should be. And here's the thing. When you know, because we have studied the deeper meanings of what the attributes of the disciples mean, we can see that spiritual consciousness is available to all men. It's common to all of us. And we don't need to think that one is superior and another is inferior. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. He makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust and the sun to shine on all. Meaning that it doesn't matter whether you're a lowly tramp or someone that is high-born or highbrow. What matters is that we put on the nature of Christ, that we embody all that Christ is as who we are. That it is not too much for us to serve, to do some good, to be more Christ-like. Jesus washed the feet of all the disciples, including Judas, the one that ultimately betrayed him. Can we not learn and take from that example that everyone, no matter what they may have done in the past, no matter what they said to us, no matter what they did to us, is deserving of our compassion, of our kindness, of our acceptance. And he said, unless I do this, unless I cleanse and wash you, because we know that feet represent understanding. We know that the feet are really the most patient and willing servants of the body because we're on them all day. They do our bidding. They take the burden of it. So the more we lay on our feet and we take that to be our understanding, our awareness, the more tired they become, we need to wash away and cleanse and purify our understanding, our awareness, so that we too can be able to take on the Christ. We need to cleanse ourselves of any belief that the material world has greater control over the spiritual world. It is not true. Jesus taught and exemplified the willingness of divine love to be humble, so that we can take away the false pride, the erroneous pride that we have, how boastful the disciples were about who was great, and be more like our teacher, our Rosh, our friend. We know that they sung hymns before they went out to the garden. And we're looking at every way in which it's possible, every way which is possible to cleanse and purify, whether we are singing thanksgiving, whether we are contemplating, whether we are meditating, whether we are praying. Any way that works for each and every one, and it's individual for each and every one, so that we can put off that which is corruptible and enter into that which is incorruptible, the Spirit of God. You see, it was Jesus' destiny and work to establish within the race consciousness, within man, their true spiritual center. to let them understand that the God that they love and serve is right where they are, that they have the tools to overcome everything and anything that life may throw at them, excuse me, if they know how to touch, how to embrace, how to embody the life of God that is right where they are. Jesus knew and affirmed it when he said, I and my Father are one. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. He knew how to truly embrace his divinity. And we know that Good Friday is the time after he left the supper, he was taken away. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane where he prayed, and he could see the disciples weren't able to watch and pray with him. But we will continue with that on Sunday in the whole Easter message. Some beloved, before we get into the meditation, I want you to realize that when we think about the atonement through the blood of Christ, we're seeking the at-one-ment, the reconciliation to God. We're seeing the blood as the life energy, the principle, the word that it contains, that can cleanse, that can purify, that can help release us from the errors and the mistakes we make. When you think of atoning through the blood, think of it from this perspective. So if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within for this morning's reflection and meditation. As always, I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. For the next 3 deep breaths, be conscious that you are breathing in the breath of life itself. Inhale. Lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach, and breathe in the breath of life itself. Third and final time. Inhale. Gently, slowly. Father, glorify thou me. John 17:5. Today is a day of overcoming, my Good Friday. Does it seem that I have come to a Good Friday in my life? I remember that out of Good Friday came the resurrection. I remember that Good Friday was not the end of hope, but the triumph of life over death. Affirm. Today I hold fast. I believe in God. I believe in the ultimate good. I believe in the resurrecting spirit in me. Today, I look beyond appearances. I fearlessly face that which seems to be. I know that God will see me through. that God's overcoming power is mighty in the midst of me. Today is a day to forgive, a day to release old hurts and bitterness, a day to let love flow through my heart, cleansing my consciousness, setting me free. Today, I am strong and courageous. Today, I have dauntless faith. I know that the night is passing, that the day is at hand. Today is a day of overcoming, my Good Friday. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is the Spirit, the life force, the eternal presence and power that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. There is nowhere where God is not. Now, the Father God, as we consciously come into communion with you this morning, seeking our at-one-ment with you, seeking to atone for our mistakes through the teachings and message of the blood of Christ that was shed for us, that we might understand our at-one-ment with you at all times, that the bread and the wine is a representation of the substance, the divine ideas that are ever flowing in and through us, that we are of your Spirit and we are to discern by your Spirit, that we are to take the message and teachings that our way sharer demonstrated in and through his life by his example, so that we can pass over from a lower level of being to a higher way of being, from a lower level of thinking to a higher way of thinking, from a lower level of consciousness to a higher level of consciousness. That we may wash and cleanse and purify our understanding, so we truly embody and embrace and align with the new covenant that he gave us, that we were to love you with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul, and to love each other as ourselves. Mother, Father, God, we know that there was a transformation and a transmutation that occurred when he was crucified and ultimately buried in the tomb and resurrected. We know that we can bury all of the things that have held us down, that have held us back, the erroneous thoughts and beliefs in that tomb. And we know that Jesus would never have had his resurrection if he had not forgiven and released. So let us remember on this Good Friday to forgive anything or anyone, to forgive ourselves, to forgive, so we can resurrect into this new awareness of who we are and whose we are. Mother, Father, God, let this Good Friday experience be one where we truly deepen in our awareness and our understanding of God in us as us. That we claim, as our Jesus and Yeshua claimed, I and my Father are one. That we can know, as he knew, that with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That we can know that we too are the resurrection and the life. Mother, Father, God, for everything and everyone this morning, whether they're on this phone at this moment or listening later, May they truly have their hearts and minds touched by this Good Friday message, to be at one with you, to allow the blood that was shed be one that purifies, cleanses, renews us, so that we may pass from the lower to the higher consciousness of God. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, we are eternally grateful. And so it is. And so it is. So it is. Take a deep breath in as I would share this closing benediction. It's a prayer by Ted Loder. Holy One, shock and save me with the terrible goodness of this Friday, and drive me deep into my longing for your kingdom, until I seek it first, yet not first for myself, but for the hungry and the sick, and the poor of your children, for prisoners of conscience around the world, for those I have wasted with my racism and sexism and ageism and nationalism and religionism, for those around Mother Earth and in this city, who, this Friday, know far more of terror than of goodness, that in my seeking for the kingdom, for them as well as for myself, all these things may be mine as well, things like a coat of courage and something like comfort, a few lilies in the field, the sight of birds soaring in the wind, a song in the night, and gladness of heart, the sense of your presence, the realization of your promise that nothing in life or death will be able to separate me or those I love from our love and the crucified one who is our Lord, and in whose name and spirit I pray. Take a deep breath in. I pray that this Good Friday message resonates within your being and soul. And I look forward to joining you on Sunday for our Easter commemoration and celebration of the resurrected Lord. And as I close with this song by Carrie Underwood, Nothing But the Blood, that you have a new interpretation of what this means. Enjoy. Thank you. Carrie Underwood, Nothing But the Blood. My beloveds, I wish you a very blessed and holy Good Friday. I look forward to joining you on Sunday for Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. Peace and blessings.